You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
PackersTalk.com.
On this episode of Cheesehead Radio,
the Packers lose to yet another terrible team,
which ends up in more Cheesehead celebrations against us.
Matt LaFleur takes the high road with Aaron Rodgers,
while Aaron Rodgers is just high.
Four quarters of Packers Talk,
right here on
Cheesehead Radio.
Hello again, Cheesehead Nation. It's time for more Packers news, fun, and frivolity here on Cheesehead Radio, now in our 13th season. As usual, our esteemed hosts tonight are C. DeAngeli of Packers Talk, known as TundraVision on Twitter. Also with us is Kelly Hodgson of Cheesehead Radio, known as That Packer Girl on Twitter. And finally, little old me, Jersey Al of Packers Talk and Cheesehead TV. You can find me at JerseyAlGBP on Twitter. Our longtime friends at Ticket King are back as official sponsors of Cheesehead Radio and all the Packers Talk podcasts. Ticket King has been in business for more than 25 years and has offices across the street from Lambeau Field and in Milwaukee. For Packers game tickets, you can visit their website today at theticketking.com. That's theticketking.com. That's it for the preliminaries. Let's get this show started.
Well, guys, we all predicted a Green Bay Packer win last week. Now that you think about it, was your heart really in picking them to win?
That's a good question.
I told myself it was.
I don't know if mine was. I picked them to win because I have to be a good fan, and I have to, you know, you guys will all rip on me if I don't. But yeah, I mean, I predicted them to win, but there's something not clicking with this team. And I don't know if they've hit rock bottom yet. Have they hit rock bottom?
That is hard to say.
No.
Oh, fun. There's more to come.
Oh, with the antics this week. Oh, we've got a long ways to go, guys. Just buckle up. It's going to be a bumpy ride this year.
So, you know, it ends up being a narrow loss to the Washington Commanders. Now, remember, we did have a couple touchdowns. We had at least one touchdown called back. There were opportunities. I mean, the Packers could have won this game, had a call or a couple things gone their way. But what we're seeing repeatedly in all three phases of the game are just these mental mistakes, these situations where the team is not in sync with each other, and you're not seeing, once again, any sense of urgency to fix it. It was embarrassing.
Well, I mean, it really was a game of almost, at least for the first half, right? Probably four or five it balls should have been intercepted that weren't, you know, in addition to the one that was. And then we had the fumble return for a touchdown that got called back for some wacky penalty on the other side of the field because Stokes put his hand on a receiver.
Some makeup call for something earlier.
Right. And, you know, we had receivers dropping every other pass from Rodgers. So it was the first half, it could have been a blowout by the end of the first half, but it wasn't. Right? Because that's the way this season is going. When they have opportunities, they don't take them, and they do things to shoot themselves in the foot. And that's exactly what happened the rest of the way.
Yeah, coulda, woulda, shoulda. Yeah, they could have blown out in the first half, but they kind of imploded by the end of the first half. And I just remember, and I forget who tweeted it, asked the question at halftime and said, what if worst play is yet to come?
Somebody said, what if that was the good half?
Yeah, that was it. What if this was the good half?
I don't remember who, but
it was like, yeah, that was kind of, you got the existential dread we all have right now.
Yeah.
I had a poll out, I think, during the day before the game even started, and I said, you know, exactly what lead is safe for the Packers going into halftime? And I said, 10 points, 20 points, 30 points, or there is no such thing as a safe lead.
There is no such thing as a safe.
I think that one. I think it really did. Because
I would imagine that it did.
You know, they're not making any halftime adjustments, and the other team know knows what to do at halftime. They come out and it's no contest, it seems. Now, there were a couple nice plays. Devondre Campbell had that great pick six. Aaron Rodgers did have that really beautiful vintage pass to Aaron Jones, which was great. Actually, Aaron Jones had two touchdown receptions on the day. But it's just too much and too far in between. And the terrible plays, and I guess the one play that just stands out to me, of course, is this fourth and one play. I mean, talk us through this. I mean, what are you guys looking here?
You want me to talk you through it?
I don't care. Someone talk me through it, because I'm done talking.
I'll bite this one off. Fourth and one. We have running back 1A, running back 1B. They're both, neither of them are actually slouches. So what do? Let's drop back and bomb one to Romeo Doubs. That kind of is the cherry on top of this poopy flavored sundae that's been this season so far. Yeah, why are we overthinking a very simple play? If you're going to go for it, play to your strengths. Don't force a pass to someone who's a rookie who's still dropping it all. Why did it become more complicated than it had to be?
Initiate the poopy flavored sundae drinking game.
I'm already drunk. There's so many things that play that are really. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Sure. All I was going to say is, if you know, looking at this game after the fact, they really marginalized AJ Dillon this game, right? I think he might have had two carries or three at the most. So you got this guy who can just plow through people and gain a yard at will when needed. And it's fourth down and one. And I mean, if you're ever going to use him, this would be the time to use him. But you know what? I think a wide receiver bubble screen would be great here. Yeah. Okay.
And actually, Al, I actually learned something from you last week.
What did you? Well, that's shocking.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But you know, you spoke very intelligently about.
Well, that's shocking too.
Yeah. But how he was coming out of those quick hitters, you know,
right,
that were just giving it to him. We're not giving him any time to analyze the line, allow the blocking to go in front of him. And that doesn't play to his strength. There was a play where I think they did a delay. Like they gave
draw
him the ball.
Play?
Draw play, yes. Thank you. They gave him the draw, and he kind of stood there for a second. And yeah, he was 5 yards behind the line and standing still, but he actually gained 7 yards on the play because he had time to let the blocking develop. And then all of a sudden he could, you know, get his speed up into and shoot at a hole. And it's great. In this fourth and one play, Aaron Rodgers is in shotgun.
Our favorite.
Fourth and one. We're in a shotgun. Allegedly, it's because he has a bad thumb.
Well, CD, there's a reason, you know. There's an excuse, a very valid excuse.
Is it really?
No.
Okay, thank you. I'm trying to think exactly. They said, well, we put him back in shotgun because it's easier on his thumb. I'm like, how the heck is it easier on his thumb to receive a ball coming back at him at, you know, 20 miles an hour versus having it handed to him from, you know, a center's.
Well.
So his thumb doesn't have to run?
I'm going to have to disagree with you here on that one, though.
Oh, bring it.
Yeah, no, I think the force with which an NFL center is snapping the ball into your hand is going to be much harder than a shotgun toss back. So I understand it. You know, I understand what they're saying, right? But he did go behind center certain plays.
Right.
So he could have been behind center that play, and they could have run it. Like they should have run it and hand it off to Dillon and let him get a yard and a half and continue with the drive. But that's not what they choose to do. Just like in the other game, towards the end when they had two, who was it? Was it the Jets or the Giants game where they had two plays to make 2 yards and they proceeded to try to pass twice. And after the game, Jones said, I'm pretty sure that either me or AJ would get 2 yards if you gave us a chance. I think that was a Giants game, wasn't it? Yeah,
I think so. Yeah.
So in any case, they seem to have this habit of deciding that they have to get cute when it's fourth and short. Now, it's one thing if you didn't have somebody that you had could depend on or had confidence in to be able to get you a tough yard, that'd be one thing. But they do.
And here you're looking at a guy like A.J. Dillon. Yeah, they don't have a true fullback on the roster, but Uzziah DeGara could easily be a guy who could line up as an H-back, right?
Yeah, they do that.
Put Aaron Rodgers under center. Let him go back. Let Uzziah DeGara go out and smash a hole. Give it to A.J. Dillon. Can he get a yard with a lead blocker? Of course he could.
Yeah, I'd put my odds in favor of that, yeah.
But we eschew all of this.
Eschew.
Excellent.
Okay, Ed Sullivan.
To throw the ball behind the line of scrimmage to a wide receiver, bubble screen, out on the left side, who has already dropped how many balls on the day? Two, three?
He was having a rough day, for sure.
He was having a rough day. And I get you don't want to destroy the kid's confidence and say, no, we're never going to throw to you again, but it's like, not there. And of course he drops it, and they were doing some blame games, you know, where the two receivers out there are supposed to be blocking the guys or whatever. It didn't matter. He dropped the ball anyway. It's just emblematic right now of this season. The things that make sense: go under center, give it to your big guy, get a first down. Don't throw to the young kids who may or may not catch the ball, but we just keep doing it. We keep going back in a shotgun. We keep doing these plays. And then we see Mr. Dejected Body Language walking to the sideline again, like, oh, I'm going to go look at my iPad.
Well, not just dejected, shaking his head and judging them that it's entirely on them. And yeah, that drop was on Dobbs. But how many times is Rodgers off the mark as well? You have a young receiver core that's struggling. You have a veteran quarterback that is a shell of his former self. And you've got two bowling balls of a running back. That you can give it to either one of them for an easy 1 yard, and we decide to make it more complicated than we have to.
So, last thing we'll do here in the first quarter. Is there some sort of conspiracy theory right now with Aaron Jones? We keep talking about it every week. So Matt LaFleur talks about it every week.
Yep.
And every week, his number of carries goes down. In fact,
his number of carries was half of what it was when they played New England earlier this year.
It's gone down every game since then, steadily. With LaFleur at the podium after every game saying that's not enough, we got to get him more touches. Instead, he gets less.
Kelly, in the last 15 games where Aaron Jones has recorded 20-plus touches, what are the Packers' record in those 15 games?
Yeah, they'd be undefeated at 15-0.
Wow. So, conspiracy theory, I can't imagine. Aaron Jones certainly is not his chipper, happy self. You can see it in his body language as well, and yet he's working his tail off every play that he can get to the ball. Obviously, the touchdown was a great one this past week, but it's just the mentality of this team. There's something going on. I don't know if it's a conspiracy against Aaron Jones. It feels like it, but I don't know what the reason for it would be other than we just want to lose games.
But the one thing you've noticed, it's like when other people are pointing fingers at each other and sniping into the media and their various podcasts that they appear on, the one person that isn't throwing everyone else under the bus is Aaron Jones.
Well, that's not his style, for sure.
No, it's not his style, which is very refreshing considering the whiny babies that seem to be taking to the media lately.
Yeah, Aaron Jones' enemy is this new thing that the Packers have put forth to us this year, and that's the quote-unquote run solution. Now, from what I've seen, the run solutions haven't really solved anything, so I'm not sure why they're calling it run solutions, other than it's just an excuse for Rodgers not to hand the ball off and throw it instead. But, you know, it's all important run solutions, and we've heard LaFleur say it 1,000 times, and we've heard Rodgers say it 1,000 times. Yep, kind of sick of that.
So we will take a loss in the first quarter.
Might as well. We're on a losing streak.
Moving to the second quarter. This I find a little interesting because NFL.com has already started putting out their quote-unquote playoff picture, which of course is sort of ridiculous at week 7.
Just a little bit.
But it is interesting to look at things because we're very, very depressed right now. And somebody posted on the Twitter on Sunday, says, can you give me anything positive? I mean, can't we see anything good? Is there any chance we're going to make the playoffs? And I was like, well, yeah, sure. I'll be positive. We're in a division with the Minnesota Vikings. Actually, if you look at the playoffs, most of the teams that are in it don't have much better records than we do. So there is a lot of time between now and the end of the season. obviously. There's still 10 games left. But if you take a look at the playoff structure right now, if the season ended today, Eagles, obviously 6-0, great. Vikings, now with a pretty commanding lead in the NFC North for now. The Seahawks are in first place in the NFC West with only a 4-3 record. And the Buccaneers, who are just as bad and doomed and snake bit as the Packers,
miserable,
are 3-4 and in first place in the NFC South. So it does leave room open, even if we can't catch the Vikings, for potential wild card, because right now the wild cards, Giants are 6-1, 5-2 for the Cowboys, third place in the NFC East. And then the Rams are 3-3.
Right.
And holding the seventh wild card. So,
yeah, but the difference of these other teams that are like have a win record of 3-3 or 3-4, depending if they've had a bye or not, is they don't seem to be in a tailspin. There's not this sense of panic. Maybe it's because I'm not paying attention to their media.
The Buccaneers and the Rams are not in tailspin.
The Bucks are definitely in tailspin. The Bucks are definitely in tailspin.
The actual thing about those teams that are different is that they're not going to be playing the Bills, the Cowboys, and the Eagles in 3 out of their next 4 games.
Right.
And the Titans, who are 4-2, so they're no slouch either. So that's the Packers' next 4 games.
Titans are actually right now third seed in the AFC playoffs. So yeah. they're doing okay.
Yeah.
So here's what I thought the interesting part was. If you look at the teams that right now are quote unquote on the bubble, you've got 8 through 13, right? 7 teams make the playoffs. In each conference, 49ers, Packers, Falcons, Washington, Cardinals, and Bears, all 3-4 in the NFC. Can anyone say parity, huh? Because we have a 3-4 team actually in the playoffs, and then all these 3-4 teams out of the playoffs. So it's not impossible if the Packers can turn things around. They're not out of it given the state of the NFC.
Yeah, it's possible.
That's optimistic way of looking at it.
Yeah, I just the next 4 games on their schedule does not give me much room for optimism.
Are you a real fan, Jersey Al?
I'm sorry, I'm a realist fan. Yes.
So, yeah, like I said, if it makes you feel better, if you're an optimist of a Packer fan looking on the sunny side, they're not mathematically eliminated like the Lions probably are at this point, right? I don't know if they're mathematically eliminated, but they're probably getting close.
They're pretty close.
Well, you know, let me, in defense of the Lions.
Oh, please do.
Defense of the Lions, like 4 of their 5 losses, sorry, no, 3 of their 5 losses were by 4 points or less. And they gave the Eagles, they only lost by a field goal to the Eagles, and I think by 4 to the Vikings. So those two teams with very good records, you know, the Lions basically gave them their toughest game. Now, they have fallen off the last 2 weeks because injuries have started to hit. And the one thing the Lions aren't going to have in this point, their development, is a lot of depth. So, you know, I'm not saying that they're going to do anything, but I think they were on a good track there for a while.
Oh, they looked much better at the beginning of the season than I thought.
So that's my, you know, defense of the Lions.
Don't we say that about the Lions like every year? Hey, the Lions are probably the best 2-8 team in football right now.
I don't think I've ever said that.
Oh, I remember there was a season. It was like, oh, the Lions are the best 0-8 team. Oh, they're the best 0-9 team. One of their 0-16 seasons. You're right. They're always just a team that just simply can't put it together. Gosh, I hope the Packers aren't following suit this season. So, All right. So, optimist, rejoice. It's not over yet. Do we call the second quarter a win or a loss?
Push.
Push.
You non-optimist. That will.
You are absolutely correct, CD.
That takes us to halftime. We'll step in the locker room while you enjoy this message from our sponsor. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field?
Yeah.
If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King.
Oh, yeah.
Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay.
Oh, yeah.
Just go to their website.
Do it.
TheTicketKing.com. Again, that's TheTicketKing.com.
So, welcome back. Third quarter here on Cheesehead Radio. My name is CD Angeli. I am flanked by Jersey Albracco and Kelly Hodgson. This week for the third quarter, if you've been a regular listener to Cheesehead Radio, you're probably going to know who we tend to consistently put a bit of blame on for the Packers' woes, maybe in the playoffs, the season. And that, of course, would be...
Ted Thompson.
No!
This is a trick question.
I'm waiting for someone to finish the sentence.
It's a joke.
I know. So Aaron Rodgers tends to get a lot of our little bit of our wrath. Matt LaFleur has also gotten a bit in the past couple weeks for maybe just not holding him accountable. Yep. But let's expand these crosshairs a little bit. I'm going to throw out a couple names. And let me know, are these guys also maybe having to take some of the flack of what's going on here? I'm going to say straight up, Brian Gutekunst. Is Brian Gutekunst responsible for maybe this mess we're having this season?
Perhaps, yeah. Because if you look at the biggest criticism from a lot of fans, you know, granted we're not GMs, but one of the greatest criticisms is there's really no top-tier receiver this year. You've got Alan Lazard is number one in the depth chart, more or less by default. And then you have Cobb, who's hurt, and then a cast of primarily just little babies. You know, how do we get in this predicament where we went from that SI cover from shortly after the Super Bowl of, you know, a whole bunch of rock stars to like the B team?
Yeah. You know, Gutekunst got himself in a pickle because he had a plan. You know, he had a plan. He was preparing for life without Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers had a couple of uninspiring years, and that's what started the whole Jordan Love pick and started drafting for the future. And then, of course, Aaron Rodgers kind of screwed everything up by being good again. Now, you know, it's not a bad thing, you know, but he screwed the plan up, put it this way. So now, you know, Gutekunst has to quickly adjust and, first of all, get Rodgers talking to him, which he did. And, you know, him and Murphy and everybody decided that they have to do whatever it takes to please Aaron Rodgers because, understandably, he gives them the best opportunity to win a Super Bowl, which is what it's all about, right? But what happened was they ended up getting stuck between two plans, right? And that kind of affected the whole drafting philosophy. And you have what you have is a team that, you know, is kind of uneven, so to speak. And, you know, the biggest unevenness is, as you just pointed out, at the wide receiver position, you know, not really drafting a prime wide receiver until this year and then realizing, oh, we're going to have to draft three now because we don't have anybody else. And of course, rookie wide receivers don't always come on, unless you're Justin Jefferson, don't always come on the scene and excel right from the start. So that's the pickle they're in with the wide receivers. And you know what? It just makes Packers fans happy because they've been complaining about wide receivers for the last 5 years. So, you know, they still have that complaint. But so I think with Gutekunst, that's what happened. He kind of got caught between different plans and ended up with really no good plan. And that's kind of where we are right now.
You know, I was a real Ted Thompson hater when he first came out. I mean, I really hated it. And maybe a lot of it was because I was a big Favre fan. And I had to learn my lesson with this, that what Ted Thompson did is by being, you know, not dipping into the free agent pool and, you know, front loading the contracts instead of back loading the contracts, he always had time to resign guys at money to resign guys at the end of the every season. And the Packers were always competitive. Yeah, they only won one Super Bowl, but they were competitive year in and year out until he kind of fell apart when his scouting department started missing on a lot of picks. But for Gutekunst to come in and make these massive, you know, very non-Ted Thompson-like investments, you know, a lot of free agents coming in, the Smith brothers, and huge contracts, like, you know, market-establishing contracts for players at their position with Rodgers and Bakhtiari and Kenny Clark. You knew this was going to happen. And so, yeah, I think Gutekunst has to kind of take a little ownership of it, too. Just like you said, he went from what was probably a good plan for the future to screw the future at the same time. I don't know if you can do that.
Yeah, yeah. It just became a little bit of a mess there.
How about Mark Murphy?
How about good old Mark?
Yes. Does he share some of this?
That's a good question.
Good old Mark Sledhill Murphy?
I mean, you talk at a guy, I've never seen a president who hides under the radar as much as Murphy does. But you know he's pulling strings. So yeah. What's going on there?
Yeah. Kelly, you have ideas?
You know, he's been so absent that I don't know what he is doing. You know, the team's kind of...
making money for the team.
He's making money for the team.
We know he's doing that.
But like you said, I think his leadership, yeah, granted, he is doing things behind the scenes that we'll never see. But the team seems to be in panic mode. And the closest thing we have to an owner would be the president. And we really haven't seen him say or do anything publicly.
So, yeah, I don't know. Silence is
the status quo. It's like there's no problems. He's silent. It's kind of like him saying, yeah, we're okay. Kind of, you know, the same boilerplate. Yeah, we're concerned, but we're going to, you know, use a whole bunch of buzzwords, but silence is almost even worse.
Yeah, like I said, I don't know how much you can blame on him, but at the same time, he's responsible for Gutekunst. He's responsible for LaFleur.
And he just extended them both this year.
Exactly. So a lot of security for a lot of people here. Moving on to another name that we haven't pointed at, but Tom Clements, quarterback coach, brought in primarily to serve Aaron Rodgers' need for familiarity, having his trusted servant back, or excuse me, trusted coach back. Maybe that was a Freudian slip, sorry.
Trusted spank? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Made a little news yesterday. We'll talk about it in the fourth quarter a little more, but actually said, Tom Clements gave me my highest grade of the season based on the game that he played on Sunday. And very much an absolutionary statement from Rodgers, like, my coach told me I had the best game I had. So is Clements part of this? Is he doing what he needs to be doing to hold his quarterback accountable? Or is he also part of the problem in terms of what we're seeing on the field?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, do we want to go into Clements now or...
And we go into him now. That's fine.
Okay, let's do that. Okay. So here's the thing. If you think about it, right, look at Aaron Rodgers' game. He didn't throw an interception. He didn't get sacked. He didn't fumble the ball. His receivers dropped a ton of passes. He stuck to a lot of short, higher percentage passes. If you're strictly looking at that and you're going to grade him, he's going to grade out pretty good, even though – you know, he did not lead his team to victory and all that good stuff. None of the mistakes were there that you get dinged for in grading. So to me, that's all that means is that, all right, he played fairly mistake-free. Doesn't mean he did what needed to be done to win the game, but that's not what goes into grading. So that's my only comment on that.
You know, if Jordan Love had that game, short passes and avoided all mistakes and had a 90-point-something passing efficiency rating – yeah, I'd say that's great, but we're not paying him $50 million.
Yeah, but you see, grading does not take that into account. It's strictly what you did and what happened, and it doesn't matter how much the person's getting paid. So that's my point. It's just a grade. It's just a grade.
It's also really out of context, like you said. You know, he's accurate. He didn't make mistakes, but there's a difference between not screwing up and playing to win. Didn't seem like he was playing to win for a lot of that game.
Well, you know, that's what we're talking about, those fuzzy things like leadership and presence and commanding your offense and encouraging your receivers. He only had 195 yards passing, and the only game where he had less yards passing was the first game against Minnesota where we got shellacked, right? Mm-hmm. So I mean, he beat that by 1 yard. So, yeah, he's, again, throwing a lot of passes, but, and yes, there were a lot of drops.
A lot of drops. You got to keep that in mind.
I got to keep that in mind, but we still can't look at an under 200-yard game and say this was an effective day. We would say that's a great day for Jordan Love, but we expect
that's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
So Tom Clements, for now, let's do it. I'm going to give this one up, too, because I've been listening to this, and I've always kind of said, hey, Aaron Rodgers should be able to make any receiver great, yada, yada, yada. Do the wide receivers really deserve some of the blame for what's going on here? I mean, this past game was pretty bad for them. And I've always tried to defend them as being young, and he's got to work more with them. But, man, they were dropping passes that nobody should be dropping.
Agreed.
Yeah, they were sloppy.
Real rough game for Dobbs. I mean, I don't know that he caught a pass. I think he dropped everything that hit his hands. Now, not every one was a great pass, but there were plenty that were very easily catchable, and they were short passes that should be caught, but they weren't. You know, Lazard, he dropped a couple, dropped a big slant on, I guess it was the first drive that would have kept that drive going, but dropped that on third down. Watkins didn't really get much run of anything. And then you just had a bunch of other guys running around.
Wow. That drop by Amari Rodgers down the right sideline. I mean, you talk about a guy who could have vindicated himself.
Yeah, I don't consider that a drop.
No, but it did touch his hands. Had he caught that.
It just barely touched his hands. Yeah,
I know. I mean, had they connected, that would have been great. And you're right, I don't consider it a drop either, but man.
Yeah, well, that would have done tremendous amount for his confidence, for the team, you know, at the time. It would have been great.
And it would have bought him a lot of capital with Aaron Rodgers, who doesn't trust him.
Yeah, it was just a little off.
So how do we fix this? You have a Rodgers who's shaking his head, blaming all of them because he
trades for everybody, right? Isn't that the Twitter answer?
I heard Randy Moss is thinking about coming out of retirement. That might be nice.
And stop wheeling and dealing for OBJ,
Jerry Jeudy, Claypool, you name it. We're getting everybody.
But no, seriously, it's like you have a quarterback who has washed his hands of the whole situation and thinks that he is blameless. And then you also have a bunch of underexperienced receivers that are still on a very steep learning curve. How do we get these two on the same page that they can actually be productive the rest of the season? Because it seems like it's an insurmountable gap between the two, and that's the biggest problem. Do they need to communicate more? How do you fix the problem with Aaron Rodgers and the receivers he does not trust?
Maybe run the ball more, and then when you run play action, teams will actually fall for it.
You know, there's so much you think about in Aaron Rodgers' career when he develops a relationship with the receiver. Think about him and Randall Cobb. Think about him and even Donald Driver at the end. Think about he and Greg Jennings before he turned to the dark side. Obviously,
and he popped
Devontae
off this
Adams.
Week, too, by the way.
Yeah, but I mean, he always had this great relationship, friendships, respect with these receivers, and that's when everything just seems to click. I don't feel like he has a relationship like this. Even I don't even know if he has it with Lazard. You know, you don't even, I don't hear many stories about that, you know, how he had that bond like he did with Jordy or Devontae or any of those folks. So is that part of it? Does Rodgers need to get out there and actually reach out and spend some time and, you know, develop trust off the field just like he does on?
And remember, we all kind of scoffed at it when I think it was Finley said he just didn't have chemistry with the QB. He might have been on to something. And even though we all wanted to run him out of town on a rail, I think he was totally on to something.
All right. Well, that is going to take us to the end of the third quarter. Well, if we're looking for people to blame, we're going to call that a loss. And speaking of losses, let's get on to our fourth quarter. I was telling Alan Kelly, I said, let's just avoid the Rodgers thing as much. You know, we talk about it every week. Let's just, you know, let's not repeat some of the same things. And then Aaron Rodgers just can't seem to get out of his own way. Aaron Rodgers goes on McAfee, which we know has been his time to sit and feel like he has a safe place to just talk and talk and talk. And then talk he did. A couple really important quotes there where it just seems like he has just blatantly come out and said, "This ain't my fault, but it's everyone else's fault." And I don't know, you guys can see some of the quotes here. What's standing out to you, and what are you going like, okay, whoa, wow. Or what is he right on?
This is a guy who thinks his poo does not stink. That's the biggest problem. He doesn't see himself as a problem with the offense right now. You know, he kind of diminishes his crappy performance of, oh, I missed some throws. Dude, your quarterback completion rate's about 65%. You look on a grading scale, that's an F.
I mean, he said a lot of stuff here, right? One thing,
and a lot of inflammatory stuff at that.
Yeah, I'll let you guys expand on that stuff. I'll just point out one thing I like that he said real quickly. Saying, I don't know what the question was, but when he said, now that it's time to really crack the whip a little bit, could be that time. Could be time to look for a little more opportunities to crack the whip a little bit. Well, if he's saying holding players more accountable, and if he includes himself with that, then I like what he said there. And I think that's something that Matt LaFleur has to do, which he hasn't done, is to hold people accountable enough. So that's just one positive. I'll let you guys go on to the rest of the quotes there.
Well, I just find it interesting. He decides to talk about how important it is to crack the whip. Of course, the title of the show, guys are making too many mistakes, shouldn't be playing. He says all this when he's also highlighting that his coach gave him the highest graded game of his season instead of one of the games where he clearly was making some really stupid mistakes. I'd like to see him say these quotes after one of those games instead of the one where he kind of safely went for, you know, I'm not going to screw up, but we're going to talk about everyone else.
Is it just me or Clement saying it was the highest graded game of the season? Didn't that just smell of a giant participation trophy they just gave to the former MVP? It's like, hey, you tried. All right. You did great.
I think the other one that I think drew the most attention was he was asking about, obviously, Nate Hackett leaving the offensive coach and says, oh, was that a problem with the play calling? And Rodgers comes out very clearly and says, this is Matt LaFleur's offense. It doesn't matter who's the OC. This is Matt's offense. Well, when the offense isn't doing well, and he kind of points out this is Matt's offense, that was interpreted as maybe a call out. I don't know if it was intended that way. But then, of course, Matt LaFleur now gets cornered with this and says, what do you think about this? Do you think that he's calling everyone out? Is he calling you out? Matt LaFleur taking this opportunity to crack the whip, Al. Does he do that?
No.
So, well, yes. So anyway, you're
impressed. In the way I took it, when he said that this is LaFleur's offense, read between the lines, it's A. Rodgers saying, well, this is not my offense. He's not buying into the Matt LaFleur offense, and that's the biggest problem. You've got Fleur trying to, yes, it is complicated at times, and it could simplify. That I do agree with Aaron Rodgers. But when he's like, well, that's his offense, not mine, you've got a problem because you've got the quarterback who's supposed to implement this entire offense washing his hands of it and saying, not my problem, not my circus, not my monkeys.
Drink.
But no, seriously, this is a guy that's not taking ownership of the offense he is given and is supposed to implement. He is distancing himself from it, and that is a huge problem. That is not a leader. That is somebody that's like, I'm not going to run what LaFleur is giving me.
But I think just as importantly is how LaFleur responds to this. First of all, he gives this whole, yeah, he's right. And it starts with us coaches. We've got to be sure we're on all our details. Like literally starts up by saying, yeah, he's right. That we coaches have to do this. So he doesn't do anything to crack the whip on Aaron Rodgers. He's literally agreeing with them. And then he kind of goes into this whole mishmash thing. Like, do you think he's calling people out? He goes, it's no different than when your kids make a mistake and you tell them about it. I don't think he publicly called out individuals.
LaFleur needs to stop with his simpering act.
Yeah. I mean,
that's
I know
exactly
it's for
what
the cameras,
he's doing.
But
he's acting like a simpering Stepford wife when it comes to Rodgers. Like, oh, yes, dear, anything you say. No, you are the coach. He answers to you. Turn the ship around and suddenly reassert your authority as the coach who coaches the players, not agreeing with your quarterback that's going off half-cocked.
And then Rodgers comes back today, not being quite as the high road as he probably could have. And, I want to say quite doubled it down on it, but just starts talking about being truthful. You just got to be truthful. I'm just calling things the way I see it. And it's kind of funny because we do rip on people on athletes when they just give these politically correct answers, right? And don't really say it. And here he says, no, I'm just calling things the way I see it, but you only really do it with Pat McAfee, but whatever. He just does a lot of talking. I'm calling it the way I see it. People don't think I need to air stuff out. That's their opinion, but I'm doing what's in the best interest of our guys. I tried a lot of things from a leadership standpoint this year, and I'm just relating my personal feelings on the situation.
I'm interested by that. I've tried a lot of different things from a leadership standpoint
exactly.
This year. That stands out to me.
Because I don't know if the leadership standpoints have been too stand-up-y at most times. So
I mean, not what we see. Maybe
exactly.
There's other stuff going on that we don't get to see. But Not what we see on the field.
Yeah. And if you look at, like, CD, I know you've heard these buzzwords in your line of work because I've heard mine, but the term servant leadership. Yeah, the servant leader is the leader that raises up those around them. They don't glorify themselves. They function as a team by you can't all succeed unless you support your weakest links. It's not a top-down, I'm boss, you do what I say. It's I help you out and we work together. And that's where Rodgers is talking about all this leadership. Is he bossing them around? And he thinks that's leadership because he's really not raising those up around him. Like, he is definitely not a servant leader.
And just the quote that kind of gets me, and I maybe Aaron Rodgers has this right, given his status and the fact that everyone's trying to appease him, but he says, no one's come to me and said, I got a problem with what you said. I think everyone knows, Matt included, that everything's got to take a little uptick, get a little better. I mean, how many quarterbacks just refer to their coaches like this in press conferences? I get it, but, you know, Jordan Love does this in a press conference. Man, no, that doesn't happen. So I don't want to say there's friction, but obviously Matt's being called sometimes to defend Aaron, and then Aaron isn't doing a whole lot to help Matt LaFleur out in the way.
It seems like Rodgers is fighting for dominance of the team, and that can really be divisive, not unifying in a locker room.
I don't know if it's necessarily dominance.
He wants to be top dog over LaFleur. And LaFleur is reciprocating, yes, dear, anything you say.
I don't know if it's, and like, you might be right though, Kelly. I don't know if it's necessarily over the team, but he definitely
over the authority of
the coach.
The offense?
I don't know. I think it's just he doesn't want to be held accountable. He wants to do what he wants to do, and Matt LaFleur is the one that's going to do it, and he's still just kind of saying, nah, you know, we just all got to get better. Someone's got to crack that whip. Not me,
is what he's saying.
Exactly. So, yeah, just some interesting stuff with Aaron Rodgers, and it'll be interesting to see how it plays out this week and going into this week's game, which, now that we're at the end of the fourth quarter and have gone clearly 0-3-1, I think it's time to get to this week's game predictions.
Cheesehead Radio, Packers game predictions.
Talk about a tale of two teams going in opposite directions. The Buffalo Bills, ascendant now for several seasons, now sit amongst the NFL elite teams, 5-1, and coming off well-rested out of a bye. The Packers are descending towards rock bottom and will head to Buffalo, all beat up and also beat down. Under the glare of the national spotlight on Sunday Night Football and playing a team that traditionally plays very well coming out of a bye, Aaron Rodgers faces, for the first time in his career, double-digit opening odds of 10.5 points in favor of the Bills. How do we see this one turning out? Jersey Al, we'll start with you.
Oh, boy. Buffalo is a team that plays at a different speed than most of the league. If you saw the Bills and Chiefs game, it was like watching a video, something that had been taped already, and you sped it up to twice the speed. It's just uncanny, the difference. Now, in years past, you know, this would be the week that we all think the Packers have absolutely no chance, and then they somehow proceed to shock us and win the game. Well, sadly, this is not that week or even that year. Bills 34, Packers 14.
I'm feeling a little more pessimistic than Al. Abandon all hope, all ye who entered. That's what you see written on the gates of hell in Dante's Inferno. Yeah, I should be a little more optimistic, but that's how I feel right now. This is the Bills. And even if this was last year's Packers or the Packers 2 years ago, I would be worried about losing to these Bills. Sorry, gang. This is not the comeback week. Bills 38, Packers 13.
All right, look, I predicted the Packers to win last week, and it was against my better judgment. Now I took another loss on my almost pristine record. Fact of the matter is pretty simple. The Bills are the league's best team. The Packers have hit rock bottom, and while the record doesn't show it, they're probably among the league's worst teams right now. They say the only way up from rock bottom is obviously going up, but they're not going to get much altitude on the road against Josh Allen. My slightly optimistic take is I think they may look a little better along the way, but the Bills are just too much. Bills 31, Packers 17.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight on Cheesehead Radio, now in our 13th season. Make sure to head over to PackersTalk.com, where you can listen to several unique Packers podcasts. Please follow at PackersTalkNet on Twitter and like us on Facebook. Cheesehead Radio and all Packers Talk podcasts can be heard on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcast. If you like the pod, show us some love and leave us a review. You can also find us on Siri, Alexa, or Google just by saying play Packers Talk Podcast. Finally, be sure to head over to our sponsor, Ticket King. You can find them across the street from Lambeau Field or in Milwaukee, or on the web at theticketking.com. That's theticketking.com. That's a wrap. It's Sunday Night Football. Go Pack Go.
Maybe they'll win, guys. Go Pack Go.
Let's all be quiet for a moment and we'll start, okay? All right, ready?
I think we just found our Easter egg.
There you go.
Okay, quit talking, guys. I'm going to start.